chew while you're on the
are you
show.
Eating? That's the worst.
It sounds real good, though. I like it.
I hate it.
Can you do that more?
I don't like it.
No, you got to do it. No, you got to do it. Please do it. Okay, take off the headphones.
I don't even like it myself.
No, you get take off the headphones and do it. You got to do it.
That short is the short that I wrote is basically my annoyance of people eating with their mouth open. That is the premise of that short.
That's great.
It's like I just cannot stand people who smack and eat with their mouth open. Oh, there's somebody in the room who did that. Ugh. Other people do that too that are close to me.
I'm
really self-conscious about it. If I ever hear me smacking or eating too loud, please tell me.
Oh, I know. I hate it.
I don't like it.
It drives me crazy.
Just tell me that I'm doing it. Because every time I eat with headphones on,
I get really paranoid
because I don't know if I'm doing it or not. Zach called me out on it once at SourceFed.
Really?
I was eating chips and I had headphones on. I guess I was eating them way louder than I normally would. And he was just like, why are you eating chips like that? I'm like, what do you mean? He's just like, you're so loud.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh,
I have.
Oh shit! It's because I'm wearing headphones. So it's like you want to hear yourself chewing,
right?
Yeah.
I have a friend. I have a friend's niece, who a friend's sister, whoever.
Wait, hold on. We've been recording. Let's just do the intro.
You got me again. You recorded without me. No, without my consent.
Let's do our intro really quick so we can continue talking about this fascinating subject.
Okay. About food smacking.
This is We Stayed Late. I'm Spencer Stark.
I'm Starlene Hodge.
I'm Luis Gonzalez.
Ooh, boy.
Ooh, baby boys.
Okay. What were you saying? You're saying that you have a friend who what?
I have a friend's sister who, like, when they eat, they smack their lips every time. And I can't say anything. I can't be like, yo, you need to stop eating like that.
I don't really know because
I feel like their parents are there and I don't want to, like, discipline a child, you know?
How old are they?
Nine?
That's old enough to know.
It's like at the age of, like, you need to know that you shouldn't be smacking your lips when you eat.
What you can do is you ask.
We need the video part.
That was a great.
What you do to get around it is you ask them about it. Be like, why are you eating like that?
Oh my God.
And then they have to answer and they're like, oh, I don't know. I'm like, oh, look.
I'm just eating.
It's kind of loud though. And that's it.
Yeah.
I'm eating a bagel right now, so now I'm super conscious about this.
That's okay. If you get loud, we'll let you know.
Good.
Are you you're chewing off for you guys can't see him.
Listeners at home.
Luis is tilting his head to the side as he chews.
It's like the guy who did Chocolate Rain. Didn't he do that?
Yeah.
Chocolate Rain, and then he walked away to breathe.
I met him at Ian's
birthday party. He was awesome.
Yeah?
He was really cool.
No, that wasn't his birthday. It was the Life Noggin.
Or his Life Noggin celebration thing.
Oh, yeah.
Thing.
But it was great.
Because Ian's a successful YouTuber person.
He is a successful YouTuber.
I know.
He doesn't know what his videos do, though. Remember we brought him over?
Oh, yeah.
He was like, oh, yeah, why is it important to sleep? He's like, I don't remember. You remember?
He's just the producer. He doesn't write it.
I got a cap in my pocket. We're setting up the studio. Me and Spencer and Star. We just got this green backdrop. We got new lights that are hanging from the ceiling. It's great.
Yeah, we got everything all set up. It was a crazy day.
Yeah, which is really nice.
It was really fun. You can't see it.
No,
maybe
you can't.
At some point we'll put a video.
Just imagine it. Close your eyes. Imagine you're in a black studio and you have all this gear and cables and you don't know what to do with it and you're missing things. And then you finally put the backdrop up.
Yeah, that was a big accomplishment.
It was a big accomplishment.
So I want to try and tackle a couple of more questions today.
Jesus Christ. There are so many questions on Slack.
I love it.
It is popping. Again,
it is popping.
First off, I want to... Oh, I don't remember his name. There's someone who is doing recaps, not just
daily. Oh, yeah, somebody just did him.
His name is like with an A. It's hard for me to pronounce that one. He's from Australia.
Is it Caesar?
No, Caesar's from England.
Okay.
He's from...
What's his... Abaganapoi? I feel so bad saying it wrong. Abaganapoi. Abaganapoi.
Well, when he hears this, he should.
Call me. A bang Pinoy. I must be saying that incorrectly. A bang.
And he does
Pinoy.
And he does recaps about what's happening on the Slack. So if you want to go join the Slack, you can go do that and hang out with us. And we're there all the time. And
we're creating channels.
We pop in often. Like I'll pop in for like 5 minutes and talk, and then disappear.
Yeah,
for an
hour. Me too. I feel bad because then people ask me things, and like I'm off doing something else.
Yeah.
And I don't reply for like hours.
But everybody else is chatting it up.
Yeah, because we get to like know everybody.
This podcast is an experience outside your earbuds. Like you come, you listen. listen to this, then you go home and you Slack it up. You get in a conversation with almost 200 people.
It's true.
It really has become like my other distraction thing. Like, okay, so it's like I'm on the internet, I'm working, and then I'm like, oh, I'll check Twitter. Oh, I'll check Reddit. And then I'll check the Slack. Yeah. Like, oh, what's going on over here? Oh, okay, cool. And then, like, I'll just, it's part of, like, my internet.
And now Slack has all these different channels and categories of interests.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't even look at those sometimes. It's too much.
There's too many. Yeah. I generally stick to general, and then I'll pop into the food one.
Well, if you guys want to.
I'll pop into the music one. That's the one I started.
If you guys want to join our Slack, the link is in the Twitter bio. At We Stayed Late, and the link's in the Twitter bio, and come join us, and we'll talk
now,
there.
Now, to be honest, I don't know what's going to happen next week, because the link dies every week.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, by expires.
I'll
I
need
guess
to.
That's the same thing. You'll need to do it, because I'm going to be out of town
next
week.
Where are you going?
I'm going to Jamaica.
Oh, boy.
Jamaica, man.
Wait, what are you doing in
Jamaica?
What are you doing in
Jamaica? I am celebrating my birthday.
Are you really in Jamaica?
I'm going to Negril, Jamaica. And we're going to land in Montego Bay and then drive to Negril. And then I'm going to be at this yoga center. And you wake up, do a little yoga, eat a little aki.
That
you know,
I don't know what that
amazing.
Is.
Amazing.
I don't know what it is. It's like delicious, though.
I think it's, isn't it a fish?
I think it is a fish.
Aki?
Oh, and then the jerk chicken is delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Someone, who was it? I don't know who, but someone told me to go to the KFC there.
What?
They say that the KFC is different.
Honestly, yeah. Caribbean KFC is different than any other KFC.
I gotta go.
Yeah. When in St. Martin, for the longest time, there was only two fast food places.
Uh-huh.
And it was KFC and McDonald's. And no one went to McDonald's because it was on the tourist side of town and it was real expensive. But the KFC was in, for us.
Yeah.
And it was delicious.
It
I don't
be
know
the grease
what it was.
Or the spice or the oils or something.
I don't know, but it was like a thing. Like, it's like, oh, we're going to, it's a treat to go to KFC.
How often would you go to the island?
Well, when I was little, I would go like every few years. And now it's like decade long gaps. And I really want to go back.
Yeah, totally. That's so cool, though.
But I want to go back as like a proper adult. Like the last time I went back was like for a sad thing. Like my grandma passed away. So it was like, she was like the matriarch. She had 11 kids.
Wow.
And like
that's crazy.
Most of them, like 8 daughters. And like it's just, so like, all the cousins, like everybody came back. So it was kind of like, it was a big event.
Yeah.
So it was neat to kind of meet all these family members that you maybe met once when you were really little.
Yeah.
So the next time I go, and that's been almost a decade now.
Jeez.
I want to go back, but I want to go back where I'm like, I'm not staying at a family member's house. I'm staying at a hotel. I have control of like my time.
I have control now. Yeah.
And like I can drive. I still want to go with my mom, obviously, because it's like, it's like going to the motherland, and I want to go with my mom as an adult where we're both like, I'm grown. Now you could tell I don't have to get shuffled off into the room like if we are with the room with the aunts.
I'm an adult now. I'm allowed to be in this conversation.
Yeah.
I'm in this. Yeah,
guys,
I have
opinions. I had a thing happen. I think it was, no, it was 2 days ago where we decided we were going to go see Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Volume 2.
Volume 2, which was fantastic. But it was like 9:30 at night, and we were like, Hannah and I were like, let's just go see a movie.
Yeah.
And then we had a realization in the car where we were like, fuck, we're like adult. We can like do adult things.
Yeah.
And I'm
go,
like, it can be 9:30 and they're like, I'm going to go get ice cream and then I'm going to go watch a movie.
No one's going to say
Nobody's
anything about it.
Me.
Did you guys?
It's so cool.
It is cool. Like, it's still cool
that,
for me. Like, I can just go buy that.
Yeah.
Or I can just make it. Like, I don't need like.
Do you guys remember your first like, oh shit, I'm an adult now moment?
Driving a car.
Really?
That's when I felt I was a different person. When I drove my car, I got to go anywhere I wanted to. And then the second time was when I had my own apartment.
Yeah.
That was another
moment. I feel like
that was. Because I felt like that was a super big moment.
I have like two, and they're both college related. Which was the first was when my mom dropped me off and drove away.
Oh my! What? She just like abandoned you?
Yeah. She dropped me off. We put my stuff in the room, and then she was like, "Well, all right, I guess I'll, you know, like, this
oh
is it."
God.
And I was just like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
And I was, and in my head, I was like, yeah, this is completely normal.
No, totally.
Hugged her, didn't cry or anything. I was like, yeah, this is fine. And she drove off. And as she was driving away, that's when it hit me like, oh, I'm just going to go back up to, that's my room.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
And you go in your room and you just look at you're in the living room and you just look around and you're like, wow,
this is
it.
Shit.
This is my shit.
And then the second time was then after I moved from that dorm room to like the scholarship house. So it was kind of like, it's like a poor people sorority because it was just, you could only get in by being like poor.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Like,
that's cool.
So it's
that
just is like,
cool.
That's interesting.
Yeah,
that's
and
cool.
I like, so you have to write an essay and all this stuff. Yeah. Like, why do I need financial need? Blah, blah, blah. But like, so I was in this house with a bunch of girls and we're, and like, it's like the first night we moved in. She's there. And then, yeah, 9 o'clock. And it's like, man, anybody want to go to Colestown? Want to get some ice cream?
Yeah.
And I was just like, but it's 9 o'clock. Oh my God, we can do that. Okay, yeah, let's go get some ice cream.
I love
and
it.
I was just like 9 o'clock at night going to get ice cream and just being like, wow, being a grown up is pretty wild.
Yeah, like, it's pretty crazy.
I feel like the last, like, I will really feel like an adult, not a kid anymore, is once I have a kid.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
once
totally.
That happens, it's
that
like, up, oh, that's done.
But what if it's not, though? what if you have the kid and you're like, I don't feel like a grown up still? What the fuck am I doing?
No, I still feel like you always feel like.
A kid?
We're always going to feel like we're...
I just know I need to have my shit together when I have a kid.
Yeah, me too.
Like,
that's
by the time
I
have a kid, I'm
it.
Like, there's no more fucking around. I need to know who I am. I need to have my priorities straight.
Yeah,
I don't think
absolutely.
It works like that. I think most
I think you just have them.
Can you imagine? I think most of us...
I don't know. I can't just have them.
Most of our parents have already, like by the time we're all our age, had kids already.
But it was
imagine
different.
Imagine how you feel, though, right now. Having a kid. Like, that's what our parents
But I have, like, preliminary things that I need to take care of before I have a kid. You know, like,
yeah,
I can't.
Totally. I want to have a house.
I
want to
have a house.
Yeah.
I want to be stable. I want to be at least in a stable enough place of doing what I love. Because I don't want to have a kid and then be like, hey, you can grow up and do whatever you want. I didn't, but you can. And then they grow up and it's just like the cycle repeats, you know? I don't know.
Yeah. Ooh, something's happening. Oh, what's going on? What's.
We got a little bug.
We got a little bug.
There's a little bug. Ooh, better turn off my phone.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Do you remember that used to happen all the time with the TV?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And it'd make that noise like blah, 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 blah.
Uh-huh. That's what that was.
That was a good moment.
your college story reminded me of did I tell the have I told the Tootsie Roll story before? Mm-mm. Of my life with Tootsie Rolls?
No.
Okay,
no.
It's pretty funny. So I was driving in we had this old white pickup, like I think it was a Nissan pickup or like something like that.
Nissan.
Like old I said, no, I don't
it
know. It
could
what it was.
Be.
It's just an old car. It's an old, old pickup, like white pickup truck. That we just use for like all sorts of like construction shit.
Mm-hmm.
And it was stick shift. And so I never drove it, but when I was young, I was probably like maybe 11 or 12.
Mm-hmm.
My mom and I were driving down the street towards my house, and I was eating a Tootsie Roll.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. And it was one of the big ones, like one of the ones that's really long, not the like little short ones.
Yeah.
It was like and I decided that I was going to eat the whole thing at once.
Oh no!
So I start trying to chew it, and you know how Tootsie Rolls are.
Yeah.
And so then I try to swallow it because I can't breathe. And so then I try to swallow it, and it gets stuck. And then I'm like choking, and because I was being dumb, and I just was like, I'm gonna try to eat this whole thing. I'm gonna be a little rebel, like 12-year-old me. And so my mom had it with the stick shift, and she's not used to driving stick shift.
Mm-hmm.
So she like had to stick shift and like pull over, and was like freaking out, thinking that I was dying. And meanwhile, like I had like kind of choked it back up and chewed it and then swallowed it and was fine. It was like 2 or 3 seconds of me choking, but it seemed like an eternity.
You were going to die.
Yeah. But I mean, I was like, oh, I'm choking a little bit. Let me cough it back up and like chew it and then swallow it again. And it was fine.
Yeah.
But for her, it was like the end of the world.
I can't imagine being a parent and having like your kid like do anything. I would like, what do I do?
Yeah.
This kid's going to die.
And so then she told me after that, she was like, you are never eating Tootsie Rolls ever again.
Oh, no.
And I was like, Mom. It's fine. Like, I was being an idiot, and I tried to choose. I tried to eat something that's too big.
I can't die ever.
I was it's fine.
Yeah, exactly.
They're not going to kill me. So, fast forward six and a half years to me being in college. It's the first day, and they tell – we get dropped off at our dorms, or, like, we do our whole dorm thing, and then our parents leave, and they tell our parents, do not call your kids for 3 days. Give them 3 days. Chapman was pretty cool. Give them 3 days where they can just acclimate and not talk to you and just be like, don't expect to hear from them. If they text you they said if they call you, don't answer. Just let them.
That's bullshit.
But they were like, if it's an emergency, they'll text you.
What
if they call you more than once?
How do I do laundry?
Right. They have to figure. But that's the whole thing. They want you to figure it out.
You got to rely on people.
So yeah, and then you destroy all your clothes and you're already a broke college student. No.
So this is
Mom, I made all my clothes like small. Like,
and they're red now.
Yeah, and now I need all new clothes. Like, come on.
No, but it was fine. It was 3 days. We'd survived 3 days. So they said like, don't call. And you know, like kind of let them be on their own. Well, my parents were like really involved in my life, and mm-hmm. so they and I love that they were really involved, but sometimes they were a little over anxious about being involved in things, mm-hmm. which was not bad. It just was like I didn't realize how much that was the case until I went to college, and people were like, "Oh yeah, no," it's, and so I was like, "Wow, like they're really involved," which I appreciate now. Mm-hmm. But of course, in fitting with that, she texts me that night.
Oh no, she broke the rule.
She didn't call.
Oh man!
They said don't call.
That's what I would do.
That is cheating.
So she texted me and she's like, "Hey, how are you doing? What are you doing?"
Uh-huh.
And I was like, "Oh, I'm just eating."
You broke the rule too.
They gave us candy, and so I'm eating some candy. And she goes, "Oh, what kind of candy are you eating?" And I was like, "Starburst and Tootsie Rolls." And she was like, "You cannot be eating. You are going to choke and you are going to die, and I'm not going to be there to save you.
And I can't call you for 2 more days.
Yeah. And I was like, "Mom, I'm like, that was like 6 years ago. Yeah. I choked once on a Tootsie Roll." But she remembered.
She remembered.
Yeah, of course she's going to remember. She almost lost you.
I know. It was so funny.
Lost
so
her
now,
little baby
so,
boy.
So we have a running joke in our family about me not being allowed to eat Tootsie Rolls because it's like, I'm going to die if I eat them. But yeah, that was my first taste of freedom was that I had the opportunity to eat Tootsie Rolls.
Do you remember realize how gross they are?
Yeah, they were awful. I hate
them. I don't like Tootsie
Guys,
Rolls.
Guys, have you ever taken Starburst and mm-hmm. put them on the end of a stick and then roasted them over a fire?
No, that sounds dumb.
Okay, no, it's not dumb.
Blew my mind.
Okay, so bear
that
with
sounds
me.
Sounds dumb.
So
why would you ruin a perfectly
Starburst? No, stay with me. No, it's not ruining it. Okay, so what you do is you take a stick, you put the Starburst on the end, then you take it like a marshmallow, so you don't stick it in the fire, you like put it right above the coals, and you let it get you let it get hot. What happens is the outside crystallizes.
Yes.
It becomes like caramelized sugar. The inside stays warm and gooey. And so then you let it cool a little bit, and then you take it off and you eat it, and it's like the outside is crunchy and like caramelized, but then the inside is like warm.
I'm not about this.
It's so good.
Yeah, we got anyone in the Slack has to do it and put it in the Slack salivation group.
That's what it was.
Yeah, I'm not about it. I'm not on board on that one.
Why not?
I'm okay with that for marshmallows.
What doesn't appeal to you about it?
It's just in my head. I know how there's so many chemicals in those things.
Oh,
like that. I'm just like it's just not just plain sugar and gum. Like it's not a simple thing. So in my head, I'm like you're just messing with the chemistry of it.
I wish it.
I'm gonna do
and
it.
It's already so hard.
I did it when I was really young, so
and
I didn't,
it's also so already. It's sorry, I'm like mixing up my words. It's already also so hard to just get the strawberry ones.
Oh, I know, right?
That I wouldn't want to risk ruining it. That I'm like, no, this is. I know this flavor.
You know,
I like this
you know
flavor.
The person who you always like. I have these orange ones. I don't want them. I'm the dumpster kid. You give me those, and I'll take them.
That's
so dumpster kid.
My order is strawberry.
Yeah.
Then orange.
Yeah.
Then lime, and then the red. I don't like the red ones.
What? I love the red ones.
The red ones are like.
The red ones are my garbage ones. I don't like the red
ones. Oh my God, I'll take all your red
ones.
Give me the strawberries. Give me the strawberries. Give me those pink ones.
Wow. Yeah, I do like the pink ones. Okay, I want to jump into some questions because we're already. How? What?
20
minutes in.
Yes!
Nice! That was awesome.
Good.
Wow, that was amazing.
I can decipher time.
Okay, Misery asks, do you guys play video games? If so, what console, PC is your preference, and what games do you play?
I am on a PS4, and I constantly play Overwatch, and I have yet to finish Horizon, and I need to do that. But Overwatch is
Horizon Zero Dawn?
Yeah.
I know. I've heard. I really want to play it. Luis, you don't play video games, huh?
Yeah, quick answer. I don't. I wish I did. I want to. I don't have enough time to.
I know. I feel
you. My one goal
just
is
make
to
time,
I know. My one goal is to finish, like, I want to get locked in a hotel room for like a weekend or a week and just finish N64 Mario.
Oh yeah.
You're going to go to Jamaica and then not leave the room.
No. Oh, what a waste that would be. No, one day I'm going to just lock myself in a hotel and finish Mario 64. Like, that's just cool. I've been revisiting like it and never got to finish it, but
we should get a 64 here.
Can we?
Oh my god.
We could?
Can we do that?
So we
I
have
don't know
a
if we can do that considering employees definitely do listen to our podcast.
Oh, whatever, it's fine. We already talked to Jeffrey about it. No, we already talked to Jeffrey about it. Yeah. He said he's cool with it.
Okay, right.
So, but Rose? we just got, Rose. I know she doesn't.
She's not
listen.
Listening.
Suzanne, I know you're listening.
No.
So we got for the people at home. We have a big screen TV now set up in our studio.
I pulled
that's
it out of storage.
He did. It's gonna be sitting right across from the couch, and we really want to get a console to play it on. But I don't know what
but
we should get.
But you play a lot of games.
We should get a PS4 for here.
I know, we should. We should. Because, well, if we get an Xbox, I have a bunch of games. Because I play Xbox. That's like my main. I have both.
Oh.
Because Hannah, my fiance, is a big
she's a big
video
gamer.
Game. Yeah, she's a big video game person. And I also, I like to play too. But I play for like short bursts.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love Overwatch.
Yeah, because it's great for that.
It's
like
great.
I've played, like, a game, like, it covers
I'm afraid,
15 minutes, and you're good.
I'm afraid of games that are too open. Like, I don't want a game that
like
I
Skyrim
have
to, or something?
Yeah, that intimidates me and scares me. Like, I just want a mission and go. Like, I don't want too many frills.
I like Horizon, though, just because it is open, but it's still, like, but it's open in the sense of, like, it's easy to know what you're going to do next because you click a button and it's just like, these are your missions. This is your main one. They're like, if you just want to do this main story, this is it. And then they give you the list of all the side ones. Like, they organize it in a way
that's
where you're
good.
Like, okay. And then you could figure out generally, like, kind of what type of mission they are, how long it's going to take. So if you're like, I have an hour, I could probably do this, like, medium level side quest right now. So, like, I like it for that because I fell off of Fallout because of that same reason.
Yeah.
Like, it was too open. There was too many things to do.
That's how I feel about Grand Theft Auto.
And it wasn't, like, I couldn't.
Yeah, because
I
just wander
it.
And I'm not doing anything.
So
I ended up just getting stuck building my little town.
I can't build worlds.
I love Overwatch because it's so easy to just pick up a game and do it in 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. So that's part of, like, I do those short bursts. Mm-hmm. We also just got Titanfall 2. And literally yesterday.
I tried that. I
love
it.
Well, I love Titanfall. I love the original Titanfall. And so playing Titanfall, it's hard. But it's really, really fun. It's really fast.
They had it
that's
for
what I
like
love about
free
it.
For like a week or something.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
That.
Yeah
so
yeah.
That's when I was like, let me give this a shot. Everyone's into this. And I was like, oh, I hate this.
Was it just too intense?
It was just like, it was really complicated.
Yeah.
I didn't like the graphics. I was
oh,
like,
really?
I was like, I'm not about
see,
it.
See, I loved it. It's
it
just really
fun
to me.
It was really harsh and it wasn't friendly looking.
Mm. Yeah, it is very harsh.
Yeah,
that's
and, like,
part of it.
And it's weird because, like, I play Call of Duty every once in a while. I'm not good at Call of Duty, but I every year it comes out and I'm like,
do you play campaign or do you play multiplayer?
Multiplayer. I've never touched the campaign.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm like, I'm not here for the story for this. I mean, for the short burst. I want, but, like, I'm jumping into a game. I know this will take me 10 minutes. Let's go. But they keep changing the dynamics of it. So, like, it's become harder for me. Especially because if you don't play, like, the whole time.
Yeah.
Then, and you just on and off it, like, your skill level drops way as everybody else is just so much better.
Yeah.
So, like, that's kind of how I always end up stopping.
I always played it. Yeah.
But Call of Duty is prettier than Titanfall to me. Because at least I'm like, I could understand what the heck I'm looking at and what I'm holding and things like that.
Yeah, Titanfall's pretty complicated. It's really intimidating when you first get into it. But then once you know what everything does, it moves. Like, everything moves so fast.
Yeah.
And, like, it just, everything happens so fast that it's like this stimulation, like, it's wild stimulation. It's really cool. I enjoy it, but that's my kind of game. But
I
also,
like, I should try Overwatch because that you do.
Yeah, you should try Overwatch.
You do
a
quick
burst.
We'll bring it
because
we'll bring
I want
something in here. And
I want
Overwatch.
A moment where I can just, like, forget and zone out and
yeah.
just
you do
go.
Have, you do have, like, a bunch of characters to choose from, but honestly, you could just. Like,
I just know that girl, the one that Whitney cosplayed.
Oh, Tracer.
Tracer.
She's
that's the only person I know.
She's the mascot, and she's one of the hardest characters
to play.
Yeah,
she's so hard.
But,
oh, to play, really?
Yeah, okay. Like, it's just every character has such drastically different mechanics. Mm. So it's kind of like in the beginning, you're like, let me see who I like. And for me, when I first started playing, I was like, this is the first game I've played that has so many options to play as a girl that I was like, I'm never playing any of the
amazing.
Boy characters, except for Lucio, because he's the only black dude. So I was just like, all right, I've limited it down because there was no way I get overwhelmed too.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, there's still like 7 girls to pick from. And, like, played all of them and was like, all right, these are my girls. And then Lucio, because he's just fun.
He's really fun to play.
But then,
I love playing him.
But it's just, it's like you could figure out like your kind of vibe. And they have it organized where it's just, do you want to be a support person? Mm-hmm. Do you want to be like a tank? Like it's still separated.
Kind of like what we were talking about today.
Right,
like
yeah, how it's all separated exactly.
Out. Yeah. It's great. It's great. And they have all these little Pixar shorts that you could kind of watch
yeah.
online.
It's really cool.
That's
really
what got me into it. Like somebody was like, look at this cool animation. I was like, oh. I was like, what is this? This is a game? Oh.
Why is Tracer like the, like, you know, front person of it?
I think they just decided.
Because she's fun.
Yeah. She's fun. Is she the one that looks the most cool?
No, okay. I think they just did it. I think they just made an active,
choice.
If
I remember right, she was one of the first characters that they designed.
Mm.
And so she just kind of became the mascot because it's like they worked with her the longest,
yeah.
kind of.
Yeah, so she kind of
And she's
through.
Just fun and like her, yeah, her character's really bubbly and cute and she's just
I want to get in the gaming community.
We'll
I always feel
we'll
left
a,
out.
We'll get a game, yeah. we'll get a console here and we'll
new
play,
trailers will come
really
out
fun.
And I'm like, I don't know yeah. anything.
The first game that got me into back into gaming because I used to like play PS2 when I was mm-hmm. younger and then I didn't really play video games for a long time. I had a GameCube, and I would play like Game Boy. I'd play Pokemon.
Right.
But then when I remember when Black Flag came out, the Assassin's Creed game.
Oh.
And we didn't have a console. We didn't have a 360 because it was on 360 at the time.
Yeah.
We didn't have that. And but I really wanted to play it because I fucking love pirates.
Mm-hmm.
I love playing as like I always wanted to play as like I've always wanted a video game where I could just play as a pirate. And so that game was basically playing as a pirate.
Yeah.
We were walking through Target. I was with Hannah and she was like, I was like, I really want to play that game. She was like, really? I really want to play that game. And I was like, should we buy a console and buy that game? And she was like, yeah. And then we just bought it.
Did you like that game?
Yeah, I loved it. It's what made me like love gaming again. It was so fun and like engaging and it was hard, which I enjoyed. But it wasn't too hard that like I gave up. But you get to fucking go grab a ship and take off into the sea and go wherever you want and then swing out and then swing out on the islands and just take treasure and like it was so fun.
By the way, the new Pirates movie is okay.
Good.
That's kind of what I expected.
I'm glad I did not see it.
It's okay. Like it's that's
is it worse than two?
Is it worse than 4?
Oh, yeah. Is it worse than 4?
I didn't see 4, but you don't need to.
I love the first one.
You don't need
so
to
much.
See
4. The first one's so good.
Honestly, it felt like, I mean, I didn't see 4, so I can't compare, but it felt like what the ending to the original trilogy should have been. Like that's,
interesting.
Like, they address some things, like, and
yeah, because
if you're
the
gonna
whole...
see it, if you're gonna, I mean, like,
Davy Jones should have been one movie. They stretched it out to two.
Yeah, I
even made
Davy
a cut of
Davy Jones should
one
have just
movie.
Been oh, really? The second movie completely, and then this movie should have been
the
third movie.
One. And the fourth shouldn't have existed.
Yeah.
Get it out of here.
Because
I don't want it.
Because like I said, it's okay because they kind of like wrap up a lot
I just don't like
of
how Javier Bardem looks in the movie. Like his, I just don't like the VFX
all
in
all the
it.
CG?
Yeah.
His face looks like it's floating. It doesn't look like it's tracked right.
He's kind of supposed to look like kind of like ink. That's the vibe that they're going for with that. It's fine. It's a fine movie. I did laugh, you know.
Right.
Like, it's just, like, there's nothing about it that, like, particularly makes it special.
Yeah, I'm going to pass this one.
It's still kind of cheesy, but it's like, in my head, I was just like, if I was a 9-year-old boy, this would be the shit. Like, this would be a good movie. But I'm not, so I'm kind of like, eh. And also, they did mention St. Martin's, the island of St. Martin's.
That's cool.
So
that's cool.
Like, you get a little bump for that. That's cool. But then also, like, there's, like, no black people. And
what?
Well, here's the thing. Like, this is the thing that always kind of bugged me about this movie is that, like, you're clearly around slavery
time. They're by the Haitian island is right there.
Yeah, like, it's straight up, like, all the white
Puerto
people
Rico,
on these
Haitian,
islands are
that.
Definitely slave owners.
Yeah,
like, this is what this is.
Time.
And you don't ever see a glimpse of it, and it throws me off. Because in my head, I'm like, I wouldn't be mad if it's there. I expect it just to kind of be
historically.
Like, historically, this makes sense.
Isn't there, what's her name in it, in the first movie? And maybe in the second and the third, she was in Guardians of the Galaxy. She was an Avatar. And she's different colors.
She was green.
She was green.
Blue.
She was blue. Zoe. Yes.
No, she's not in this one.
She was in the first one.
I saw Guardians. And let me
it's
just say.
It's kind of like, it's just, Yeah, like, I don't know. It's just like, you have like people running around going, she's a witch. Like, that's kind of one of the main plots is a girl who's like really, really smart. So she's a witch. So, okay, fine. Whatever. But like,
I'm not going to waste my time with that.
Like, yeah. Where's, I was like,
good.
All right. Where's
you
your,
saw Guardians. But I saw Guardians and it was amazing.
Yeah.
It was great.
Guardians, it
just made me so happy the whole time. So I can't complain. It was exactly what I thought the movie was going to be. Mm-hmm. The opening scene was perfect.
Oh yeah, that was great.
A little dancing Groot.
Well, the only thing I didn't like was like it's setting up the movie. Like
It
took a little bit to set it up. I think it was a little bit like on the head,
on the nose.
On the nose. Yeah. Thank you very much. But that was it.
Yeah. But here's the thing, is like,
that's fine.
I kind of expect that from if it's going to be a superhero movie,
you kind of have to. You don't have enough real estate in the movie to, like, that naturally. You have to, like, listen, here's the stakes. Here's what's going on. We got to move. We got a lot of action set pieces.
And so I kind of expected it, and I enjoyed it. And I came out of the theater so happy. Yeah. And
I kind of want to see it again.
Me too.
I want to see it again. And
hyperspace scene when they're,
Yeah.
You're only supposed to go through 10. We went through, like,
70.
Yeah, 70. Like, oh, no. And their face is warping. Yeah, it's the best.
Good. Yeah, but, it's really good. If you haven't seen it, you should go see it. But just go and want to have fun.
Yeah,
that's
you want to have fun.
It's just
fun.
If you enjoy cheesy, as I said this before, if you enjoy cheesy, you're gonna have a great time.
Yeah. It's just a cartoon.
You like cartoons?
If you like cartoons,
you'll like it. Yeah,
you'll
it's
like
fine.
Them.
Yeah.
It's you
and,
just can't
and
expect
to compare
like,
it to Pirates again. Pirates uses a similar
trope
theme, and Guardians does it way better. Significantly better. I'm not going to spoil anything for it, but I'm just saying there's a couple of similar moments, and I was just like,
interesting.
Oh, you guys did it bad.
Yeah,
that's funny. Okay, we have another question. Who are your inspirations and/or people you look up to, both in your personal lives and work-wise?
Oh, jeez.
You know what? This is the thing. This is brand new to me because as a kid, I don't think I had anybody.
Really?
And I think that really fucked me up. Because I didn't have anyone to look up to. I didn't feel like I had a goal to go somewhere.
Are you an only child?
Okay, now you're changing things up. I guess I looked up to my older brother.
Okay.
Now that you say that, yeah.
Okay.
I'm an only child. I admired my mom, but like that's because I was like, oh, well, who else am I looking at?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I mean, like, I didn't have like TV heroes.
Yeah, you did.
I didn't have like TV heroes. There was nobody like on TV that was like, I want to be like that person until like, at least not real people. Like, I didn't realize it till later looking back that I was just like, oh, I loved Sailor Moon so much. And like, that influenced me a lot.
Yeah.
But like, the creator didn't. Like, she's like, I don't really know much about her herself, but like, her product. Mm.
Influenced
me and like influenced my art career, like all of that, and like that character, even though like I've added so much more meaning to what that character is than what it's presented. Like if I had you guys watch like some old Sailor Moon episodes from like the 90s, I'd be like, okay guys, I know this is really cheesy and real dumb, but you have no idea how like this like means a lot to me.
Totally.
But it's so
it's
simple
nostalgic.
But I would look at it and go, these particular character moments, like, I'd never seen that before.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to be like that. But totally. At the time, I didn't realize it. It was later that I go, I'm like, I look back on it and it's like overanalyzing the stuff you liked. I'm like, oh man, like, I still, what this character does and like, they're her goals.
Yeah.
I'm like, there's a part of me that wants to be like that. And I'm still trying to like go for that kind of thing.
Interesting. Yeah. Back in the days of Edward Scissorhands and Big Fish, and like I was a huge Tim Burton fan. Not so much now. His stuff now is like not great.
He's a kind of one note now.
Yeah, he kind of wasn't.
He's parodying himself.
Yeah, but back when his stuff was really like original and
fresh,
I absolutely adored everything that he made, and I thought that was like my
role
model.
Were you one
of
those Hot Topic kids?
No, no,
Jack
actually,
stuff?
I wasn't. I was never a fan. I was actually like never a big fan of like I never like dressed up with Jack Skellington stuff or like Edward Scissorhands for Halloween or anything. It was actually more of him that I looked up to because I wasn't from a young age. Like I knew I wanted to tell stories. I knew I wanted to make shit, and so And so, so I didn't necessarily look up to like a property, like you're saying, look up to a TV show necessarily, or like a movie that he mm-hmm. made. I looked up to him as an artist, and him like as a creator.
Right.
So that was probably my big influence. And then it was really cool because in college, one of my professors, I told him how much I was influenced growing up from Tim Burton stuff, and we had to write letters to people asking them to be our mentor. That was part of our
one of our
projects.
That, nope.
and so we had to write to like anybody that we thought would realistically like bring you on.
Write to Tim Burton?
So I wrote to a bunch of people. I wrote to like 3 or 4 people. Everybody else were like, he basically said like, and this is the same teacher. Did I talk about the creativity class?
Yeah.
That I had? Mm-hmm. Okay. So it was the same teacher as that. It was called internships and mentorships, and it was all about how to get an internship and a mentorship.
Mm.
So he had us write, letters. And so we wrote them to like, people who are realistic, and then people like that might actually take us on, and then people that were like a little more of a long shot, and then people that were like are
impossible. Jesus Christ.
And so I wrote to Tim, and he wrote to Tim.
As if you know him. Who's Tim?
I was like, you mean Mr. Burton?
So I
emailed Timmy, and I was like, listen here, Timmy.
I wrote to Tim, and he was like, you're in luck because I know Tim really well.
No way.
And I'm going to take it to him. So he took it to him. Yeah.
You saw him?
I didn't see him, but he took my letter to him, and he talked to him about it. He was like, yeah, you know, like he couldn't take anybody on at that time, but like, he read the letter and he said that he really appreciated
it.
Cool.
So it was actually really cool because I got to at least tell him how much he inspired me and stuff. So anyway,
that's cool.
It was a really cool experience.
Glenn Keane once a few years ago right after he left Disney. He was one of the main animators. He created Ariel, Aladdin,
oh, wow.
The Beast.
That's very
no
iconic.
Way.
And his last one was a Rapunzel, like before it like all went 3D, and like mm-hmm. he like retired from Disney, and he had an art show for LA does a monthly art, a street walk thing in downtown.
Oh yeah, uh-huh.
Oh
yeah.
I hear about
I used to go
that.
To that.
I never go to that.
I used to go.
When
to
is
them.
That?
It's always I think like the second Thursday of the month.
Yeah, okay. I used to live downtown, so we used to walk over to it.
Yeah, just double check on that. Okay. But like, it's like a bunch of art galleries are open. You get wine. You're walking around. Like, it's really nice. And when I was freelancing, that would be like a monthly thing. I'd be like, well, mm-hmm. this is my Thursday night. I'm gonna go do that. So I went once, and like Glenn Keane was having a show. And he was just hanging out, and it's like this
That's
little
so
man.
Cool.
And I lost my shit because I was just like, oh, like I happen to have I always have like a moleskin sketchbook on me, and like my roommate at the time was just like, go say hi, because people were saying hi to him, like other animators and stuff. They were like, oh my gosh, Mr. Keane. So I'm like, I guess I'm gonna go say hi. And he was sketching in people's like books and stuff. So I went, and like, I'm like half tearing up, and I'm like,
oh,
I couldn't.
No.
And this is like, it's not someone I ever expected to meet. It was just like, his work is so good. And like, I always, like, he's the reason why Disney princesses look the way they look now.
Totally.
Before Ariel, they all kind of started looking different. He also designed Pocahontas too, so it's not like they're all like the same mm-hmm. thing. But the classic money making, the big eyes, the head shape,
yes.
all that, he did that. And
it's
like,
crazy.
And it was the kind of thing where he used to just do villains, like that's like Beast and things like that. Like, he did Ratigan and like the old Great Mouse Detective, mm-hmm. all that stuff. So Ariel was the first time they let him, like, they're like, okay, we'll give you a shot in making like a pretty girl.
That's cool.
And he was amazing at it. So like, I was like, oh, okay, I'm gonna go. And it's just cry, just teared up, and it was just like. Trying to like explain, like, yeah, Ariel's my favorite. Like, I really liked her spirit and blah, 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 and all that stuff. And he was just really cool about it. And he drew a quick Ariel in my book, and he said, best wishes.
Aw, that's so nice.
Yeah, and I was just like,
it's so cool when you meet people and they're actually like
super nice. He still uses an Earthlink email address. I overheard him telling his email to like another art student or something. I don't really remember the whole thing. I just remember it, like, because it was like not his name. It was like a mix of, because old email, so like,
right
before he used your name as your email, so like something earthlink.net. I was like, what the fuck? He's old school.
That's funny. So do you have anything that you
that I looked up to?
Yeah, I remember You say you look up to your brother.
My
but
brother, I like
a...
like music and stuff like that because I wanted to be like him, be yeah. cool because he was cool, and I was like, oh, I want to be cool. Yeah. You know? It's a very complicated. I had a complicated upbringing. I was like super religious growing up, and I went to a Catholic school. So, like, the people that I looked up to were, like, you know, involved in that community.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Which I've kind of, like, changed a little bit now. But, no, I think that was the issue. I was with William Haynes one time, and he was talking to me about it, just his influences. They're, like, you know, obviously, it's, like, Jon Stewart, Louis C.K.,
yeah.
Who else?
I mean, Drake.
Drake, Kanye, even Chris Rock. He'll listen to his stand-up. And I was just taken aback. I was, like, damn, I never really thought about that. I never aspired to somebody to be something. And so I think I was like kind of directionless, but I also felt like in some weird way that if I did that, I wouldn't be able to make my own way.
Sure.
Does
that
make
sense? Totally.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
But I think that was wrong. Like I felt like I was like, I don't want to listen to you. I don't want to be influenced by you. I'm going to make my own choices, even though like it's hard for me to make decisions. But like, at that point, I was like, no, I can do this on my own. I don't need anybody. And I then I realized, like, no, I should have had, like, I wish I had, like, a teacher or, like, some sort of, like, person to look up to and be like, I want to be that person. There's nothing wrong with that feeling. And for some reason, growing up, I felt like that was wrong.
Huh. That's funny. Yeah, because I kind of, I mean, in a similar fashion, like, I didn't want, I had this fear, especially in college, of, like, putting myself, like imagining, because we were talking about mentorships and stuff, mm-hmm. and so I started thinking about that and like think about if I put these expectations on myself that I'm going to be that thing,
yeah.
Then if I'm not that thing,
yeah.
Then I feel like I failed, and right. And I didn't want to feel like that. So I think that I had to kind of make sure I was doing what you said.
I think there's a difference between wanting to be like the person that you admire and then or just admiring the person that you yeah. admire. Because if you admire, like I admire a lot of people,
yeah.
but I don't necessarily want to do the same path or do the same thing that they did.
True.
To get to where they are. Because there's a part of it that's like, you know what? I don't think I would enjoy that. Or it's the thing of like, you think it's the be careful what you wish for thing where you're like, I'm going to do this exact thing and I'm going to try to be like this person by this time and do all this. And you do it. And then you're like, oh, this isn't what I was expecting it to yeah. be. That's happened to me more than the other way around where I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. And then when you realize where you're like, sweet, this is yeah. pretty great where I'm at. Yeah. I didn't realize this is what I wanted to do, but this is great. Other than like, this exact thing. I want that. And I'm like,
ah. Yeah. Well, there is, I mean, there, and also to take the flip side of that, there is something to be said about reading how people got their start and how they made their yeah. path. Because I remember we had a book, I'm trying to remember what it's called. I think it was called On Filmmaking, something like that. It was a book that we had to read in college. And it was basically just a bunch of really famous writers and directors who talked about how they made it and what they, like what their process is like,
right?
And from reading that, just taking it as an observation of like these are people who made it, and knowing and seeing one how many paths there were to mm-hmm. success, mm-hmm. and two that everybody had different ages in which they had success, mm-hmm. and three that everybody kind of knew that they wanted to get there. For the most part, nobody that really was like huge, in that book, anyways. Fell into it. They all worked really fucking hard
exactly.
to get
yeah.
there,
they yeah.
and
really
they
hard.
And they never just, you know, like it's never necessarily easy for them to get there. They got chances
because everyone says like, oh, this overnight person,
right? And like, it's like
never
no,
never like that.
So it was. There's a really interesting interview with Chris Columbus who wrote Gremlins. And also Home Alone,
mm-hmm.
and directed the first Harry Potter movie.
Yes.
And he was talking about how he got his start, and he was talking about luck, and just he was like, oh, I just got lucky, because basically what happened, I might get the exact details wrong, but basically what happened was he had a script called Gremlins,
mm-hmm.
and he started sending it to a bunch of people, and he started sending it to a bunch of production companies that weren't accepting unsolicited scripts,
right.
which basically means that you can't send them a script without them contacting you or your agent about right. it first, which for people with out an agent. It's like, how am I supposed to get an agent if I can't submit a script to get an agent?
It's a vicious cycle.
It's like a, it's, so it's insane. But anyways, he starts submitting his scripts to these production companies without an agent, without being solicited. And so they start just throwing him out. You know, they just throw him out.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm like, I wouldn't recommend doing that because you'll just piss people off.
You get annoyed.
Yeah. More than likely, you'll piss somebody off and you'll be like written off.
Well, that's what he was saying, is he was like, it was really dumb of me to do. But he sent Gremlins out, and it was in a stack of scripts to get shredded at a production company. And Steven Spielberg was walking by the building, saw the title, and was like, that sounds interesting, and picked it up, not knowing that it was a pile to be shredded, just thinking it was a pile of scripts, took it, read it, loved it, and contacted him.
Shit, that is pure luck.
That is.
So, but here's the thing.
Yeah.
It's not pure luck. That moment is luck. Right. But if he had been a shitty writer,
right, exactly.
If he had not been prepared, if he had not written something that was amazing, then he never would have gotten picked up in the first
place. Because he could have read it and be like, oh, this is real garbage.
Shitty. And, then again, name blacklisted.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it's more, I mean, and they I've heard this over and over, but it's worth reiterating that, like, luck is about being ready when the opportunity comes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, because, you know, sometimes opportunities fall, and if you aren't ready for that opportunity, then it just passes you by and you never even realize that it could have been something, right? Because if the script had been shitty, think about this, if the script had been shitty, it hadn't been good, Spielberg would have picked it up, would have read it, and would have been like, and thrown it out, and Chris never would have known.
Right.
He never would have known that Spielberg picked up his script. But because he was good, because he prepared himself, because he worked really hard to get there, when he had that moment that was what we would call luck, he was prepared.
He was ready to go. Yeah.
Right. And so that always gives me like.
And you know. as a side note to all of that too, all these narratives we always hear of people being like super successful. It always sounds like they did it all by themselves.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Never.
Never all by themselves. They have help. They have support. They ask people for, like, in the end when their story comes out, it might always end up sound like, oh, this is what they did, and they did this, and that. But, like, really, no. Like, the people around them influence that, and, like, you don't have to do things on your own.
It's
you don't have to. Like,
it's hard, though, because you want to be like, I did it my own.
Yeah, and it's,
it's only me.
Because it sounds like a good story.
It sounds like a good story, so that's like, how you hear it for everybody else. You're like, they did it by
themselves. You're so influenced by Hollywood. It's like, that's what I got to be like.
And it's super not true. Like, you know how many, like, spouses have, like, helped carry, like, their partners in stuff because they gave them the opportunity to be able to work on the thing they want to work on. Like, just family members, the people who are, if you're living at your parents' house still while you're trying to make your way, that's fine. You're still working hard. Use that. If you can use it, do it. You know, like.
Right. Like, use every advantage that you possibly can.
It's okay to need support. That's all I wanted to add to that is, like, it's fine.
Yeah, I mean, everybody needs it, and we pretend like we don't.
Sometimes we end up believing our own story. We're like, I did it all by myself.
Well, and like,
but it's hard. Also
it's vulnerable
too, because
you're showing yourself.
Yeah. But when people tell your story too, they'll make it sound like you did it all by yourself.
Yeah, that's just the
just
way
not,
stories work.
That's not true.
It was. I used to do this thing where I would, when I was younger, I would write a first, second, third, fourth draft. And then throw all of that out and tell people that my fourth draft was my first draft, and never let anybody know that it was more than that, because I always felt self-conscious that my first draft was not good enough. And then as I started doing that more and more and realizing how insane it was that I was pretending, like I was literally getting rid of any evidence that I ever was not good.
No one needs to know.
And nobody ever need. And then I started, I did the class where I got, I had to write every week, we had to write the new script, and I had no choice because every day we had to bring a new draft.
They had to see it.
So we had to see the shitty product. And then I started practicing like writing in public. And what I mean by that is like writing while somebody else is looking at it and being okay with people looking at it while I'm writing, because you're going to be especially when you're in a writer's room, you're working with a bunch of people. Mm-hmm. And so you have to be okay being uncomfortable and letting mm-hmm. people see
I had to learn to not be protective of, like, my ideas anymore. I have the story idea. Oh, I can't tell anybody because then they'll take it. And it's just like, no, tell your idea. Because, A, odds are they're not going to take it. And two, if they take it, it's not going to be the same story that you were going to make anyway.
Right.
So, well, and also they might help you find a side of it that you didn't realize.
If I didn't
before.
Tell Spencer what the heck my comic idea was, I would have been like,
That's true. It was a completely... But, like, I have that thing where we have a writer's workshop we do, and I'll take an idea in and pitch it and be like, this is the best idea ever. And then they'll be like, this is the worst idea ever. And so they give you feedback, and then the story completely changes, but it's for the better. So anyway, sharing those, you know, if you have a group that you can share it with, that's great. If you have to just share it with, you know, like, share it with people that are around you that are creative.
Even if you don't want to, it sounds counterintuitive because I get it. I know.
You
want to
be
perfect. You want to do it your own. You want to be perfect. I'm not going to do it until it's perfect. And I don't want anyone to help me. No.
Yeah.
Get help. Show it out there. Yeah. It's fine.
It's
okay.
There's literally nothing to be embarrassed about. Yeah. And also just a side thing. Also another side thing. Don't get attached to it.
Yeah, we had this talk.
Yeah. Don't get attached to your ideas either. Uh-huh. They're not precious. They really aren't. They're just the little brain fart that you could let go and do something, make it into something else.
There's an app I was telling you about. It's a writing app. And it's amazing and terrifying. Basically, it's just a blank piece of paper, and you're supposed to write, and then you're supposed to write on it, and then there's a timer thing, and if you stop writing for more than like 10 seconds, everything gets erased.
Oh my god, that's so crazy to me.
Oh, I don't think.
And
I
so
like that.
You just have to write, and not you can't go back, you can't do anything. You just have to keep writing and keep writing and keep writing, and it makes
I need
you
that
write
app.
And so you just write like you write like 30 pages before you know it, because you just are writing everything that you're
what's
thinking
it called
of.
Again
I don't remember. I have
okay.
to look it
you
up
have to look it up.
But
that sounds exciting, but that also sounds like
a nightmare.
It's
like free flow thought. That's what I want. Because so I spent too much time like, oh no, with this, and then I need to set this
and
up,
like,
and you know, it doesn't make sense if I just go there. But
and so like if I don't use it to write scripts necessarily, because I do want to save those and I have to go back and do drafts. But what I use it
good
for
practice
is brainstorming ideas, and brainstorming like creating, because I like to create worlds and create like you know, build things, and so I'll use it to like build those, so that I just have to keep writing everything I can think of about the world, and I can't stop. And so it just I have these pages and pages of like ideas, and some of them suck and some of them work, and you pull out the three or four things that work and you keep it. So anyway, it's a crazy app, but it does that same thing where it just makes you go. You know, you can't just have to be like, just have to keep going. So it's really cool.
I'm torn on that, because I'm like, I understand that that's a good idea, but my brain's going.
Yeah.
But
there's a freedom.
There is a freedom if you just keep writing.
I was like, just keep writing. You don't have to erase it.
Okay, Daisy Rendell said, if you had to live somewhere outside of the U.S., where would you live?
Daisy!
Hi, Daisy.
Sorry, I just want to say hi, Daisy.
Daisy's nice. We talk with Daisy a lot.
Where would I want to live?
I like Denmark.
I need beaches. I need to live near the ocean. So, probably I could do the Caribbean. I'll make do. It's fine. Everything's there is like so behind.
Yeah.
Tech wise, like, but like I can make do for Caribbean. Japan would be cool if I could speak the language, and if they wouldn't necessarily be racist to me, they have a feeling they would be.
Anybody in Japan, could you tell us, would they be racist towards Star?
Probably.
Tweet at us.
I'm relying it based on like Reina's stuff and like some cultural things I've like heard about it, is that like you could visit, great, visit all you want, spend all your money here, we'll treat you awesome. Mm-hmm. But if you try to move there and like kind of become Japanese, that's more of a no.
Interesting.
Because they're like, no, Japan is for Japanese.
Yeah, it's for
Japanese. It's kind of like, which, I mean, it's cultures.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Different cultures.
Well, don't come to America.
How about you?
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like I should be going. And every time everyone says that, they always pick nice places. And like, oh, yeah, I guess I could go to like Amsterdam or Denmark or Netherlands. But I just want to feel safe in an English-speaking country. Like.
Yeah. That makes sense.
I like Australia seems cool. New Zealand seems cool. You know, I like to hang out in England or Scotland, you know. Like, I was having this conversation with a friend yesterday about this. You could have the most boring and nerdiest and losery person from England or Australia, but they say anything and it sounds so dope, so cool. Like, you could be a loser and you'd be like, And I'm like, you're fucking cool. I don't know. Like, you already have
for
music.
A second, that wears off real fast.
I don't know.
I went to
really
when I went to London.
I love all those accents. I think I'd be so much cooler if I had a little
when
accent.
When I went to London and was just hanging out, like in the beginning, like just at bars and stuff, I'd just be like, oh man, listen to all. But then after a while, like, you kind of get desensitized to it, and you're like, oh no, that guy's still an idiot. And then this guy, but even though the accent's still cool. But it'll wear off.
I tried to bring it out that I wanted to be in England. I got shunned down. They said no.
Oh yeah, they told you no. They you told shouldn't me no. go to England. Yeah.
Then there's Wales. No one talks about Wales.
All
I don't know anything about Wales.
Are cold Scotland. And rainy.
I know.
See, I love,
but there
I
are
love...
people that I can like communicate with. I don't know. I mean,
cold, rainy, and,
yeah, it
and
is cold.
Not good.
So I guess
not quote unquote not good. Food.
What about New Zealand then, or Australia? What about that?
In Australia, everything's trying to kill you.
They say that.
It's true.
I think that's true, though.
What do you mean it's true?
Okay, so kangaroos.
I'll fight everybody.
No, everything's
kangaroos
just
outnumber people.
Who's poisonous?
Everything.
Everything.
The air is poisonous?
Kangaroos outnumber people. They're like rats, but they're running around. They can kick you in the chest.
Oh.
It's terrifying. I would love to live there, but it's terrifying.
I would
terrifying.
Go there.
They have cassowaries, but they're just like kind of like nightmare versions of ostriches that have like giant hooks on their like
oh,
claws
no.
so
that
cool.
like will rip you open. They're really aggressive.
So cool.
And then all their
so metal.
And then
yeah,
all their
so
bugs,
metal.
All their bugs are essentially very poisonous. So, like,
bugs.
It sounds awesome. It sounds.
I don't
like
want any
hellscape.
Bugs.
Let me get some grunge.
I've
some
heard
grunge.
Like, I've heard the like Philippines and Taiwan. Like all
yeah,
that stuff
it'd be
are
cool.
Pretty nice. Like,
I don't know if I want to go there.
Bangkok.
Yeah.
That stuff scares me.
I don't know. Philippines seems like I heard it's like cheap. It's just like
yeah.
you could live like a king and just on little.
There's a lot of stuff happening in the Philippines right now though.
Yeah,
that's
yeah, but
scary.
Not to like. Us.
I love Copenhagen. I would love to live in Denmark or Sweden. I would totally learn the language if I had to.
Yeah.
I would be super down. It's beautiful.
It would be cool to know the
and
language.
The people are fucking cool and it was awesome.
Okay, so
it was so cool.
I was having this conversation with my friend yesterday about Germany. He lived in Germany for about
oh, okay.
a year.
Germany
and a half.
Would be great.
Germany would be
and
awesome.
He loves it. He was talking about Berlin and he was talking about that like it's easy to get a place. Like there's squatter rules. So if you live there for 2 years and no one says anything, you own that place.
No
just because
way.
It's like there's so many places available.
That's so cool.
He's talking about like clubs that just like in John Wick 2, it's abandoned and you go down and people just boom, 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 boom. Hours.
That sounds amazing.
But what was he saying to me? Oh, that the structure of German is very different. And so
The language?
Yeah.
The
oh,
language.
Okay.
And so he's like, the reason why people speak slowly in German is because the structure is like not organic in any way. You know, it doesn't flow like a French or a romantic language.
Yeah, English has the same problem.
Right. But like English is like a semi because it's semi-romantic and semi-German, you know, from German. But like Germany, it's like you put the noun and the direct object and then I don't know. It's like all over the place. But he equated it to Yoda. You know the way that Yoda talks?
Yeah.
It's like almost the same way as Germans talk. So when they play Star Wars in Germany, Yoda is actually talking the way we do.
Oh.
What?
So, yeah. So it's like this weird thing.
That's so cool.
And so they're messing around. They're like, oh, I eat a bagel. Isn't that sound funny? Instead of saying bagel, I eat. You know, like we always do like a Yoda impression.
Yeah.
And when they do a Yoda impression, it's just like normal English.
That's awesome.
Because they have to like make him sound
funny.
Weird, you know?
Yeah.
And so I was like, wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, that's weird how they have
so,
to do that.
That's kind of neat, yeah.
I wonder how they do, like, I can imagine there's
like they, the,
lots
say,
of instances in which they have to do stuff with language in movies that, you know,
they
wouldn't normally have
and
to
And he was
do.
Saying like they're like a kind of a stubborn people. And even if they're wrong, they'll stick to it. And it seems like when they were doing language, this was the first draft. And they're like, we're going to stick with this one. We're not going to make any adjustments. We're fine. We're going to keep it. And even though it's hard and not intuitive, we're going to keep it this way. Any Germans out there, please let us know if we're wrong. But
tweet at us in English because we don't speak German.
German, yeah.
But let
I
us know.
I feel like if I were to say like, oh yeah, for sure I'd live in Germany, like all my like Dutch cousins and everything would be like, what do you mean? Why wouldn't you just live in Holland then? It's like the language is pretty similar.
Yeah.
If you're going to have to learn a hard language, learn the language so you could speak to your cousins.
I like Italy.
Italy's cool.
Italy would be dope. Oh, the food.
Oh.
Yeah, Italy is so good.
I just want to go to Italy and eat. That's my like my European goals. Honestly, most of the places I want to go to, it's either you have real good food or you have like art that I'm like, I should probably go see that.
But like if you're in Europe, what's cool about Europe is once you're there, you can go anywhere.
Yeah. You get the Euro pass. We were having a discussion with somebody who wanted to do a Europe trip in the Slack.
In the Slack.
And And they, yeah, and we were like talking about just all the, like, you take your rail and you get the flight. If you do the flight that I did on, I think it's Norwegian Air, it was like $1,000, I think, round trip. And you go, you jump to Copenhagen and then you stay there for like a day or two and then you jump to Rome. And it's basically you have like a 2-day layover and then you jump to Rome and then you can travel all through.
I've been to Rome a lot, I'll tell you that.
Rome and I mean, you can go all through Italy and wherever you want to go and then you jump back to Copenhagen. But it's like super cheap and it's awesome and Rome is beautiful. And go to Naples. Yeah. Nobody ever goes to Naples and Naples is amazing and it's beautiful and they have the best pizza.
Rome, Italy is just like, you go out there and a piece of dirt looks beautiful. Like, yeah. It's just like the landscape is so incredible. And
did everyone... you have potato pizza in Rome?
No, I didn't have potato pizza.
You ever had potato pizza?
No.
Oh my God. Next time you go to Rome,
I'm going to Rome.
Get
I love
potato
Rome.
Pizza. It's amazing. I didn't think it would be good.
I
it was so good.
I need to save up for a trip like that because if I were to do that, I'd probably have to go, like, go by myself kind of thing.
And I want to do a heist. I just want to, I need to steal
what?
$10
million. Wait, like, and then
I need $10 million so I can do what I want. I want to go visit anywhere. I'll pay for your trip, Star.
Like, I just, like, I want to go, but it's like a part of me is like, well, I want to go by myself, but I'm also very nitpicky and kind of spoiled, and I don't want to necessarily stay at a hostel by myself.
Right.
So it's just, you know, safety. So
you
I'm
Airbnb.
Like, even then, I'm still by myself.
Yeah.
So
it's
in
still
my
scary.
Head, I'm like, okay, I need to make sure I could like be safe as possible. So unfortunately, that costs a lot more money.
Yeah, totally.
So I still want to do a trip. Like, I would love to go on my own. Yeah. I just like
you have
yeah.
to have the money to do it. Well, here's my recommendation: is if anybody, right out of college or even out of high school, if you want to, go to Europe. Go see Europe.
Go.
It changed my life. It was amazing. It was probably the best investment I made in myself, as far as perspective and as far as like.
There's
just
nothing like
into,
that in the United States. It's incredible.
It's so
everything's
cool.
older
and
than
traveling.
Yeah, it's
like,
so much history in Olia.
It's
yet.
So cool. And just go travel like travel as much as you can. You know, for like while you're there in Europe, because the flight is the most expensive part. Once you're there, it's pretty cheap. Because
I,
so, like,
I flew.
Go,
did
go,
you
go,
fly
go.
Ryanair? Ryanair? Did you know about
no,
that?
No, I did. We did Norwegian there, and then we did. We had the trains. What was it? Not Berlin. We were in Amsterdam, and the trains in Germany, I think, and in, I don't know, wherever, whatever borders Amsterdam, the two, Belgium, I think, both of them had rail strikes on the same day, so we couldn't get our train out. So we were stuck in Amsterdam, and our flight was taking off in Rome to go back to Copenhagen. Oh. So we had to jump on a flight, because we were supposed to take a train back.
Right.
And so we had the hours counting down. We were like, you have to be back in Rome in 20 hours.
Oh, no.
All the trains are gone. You can't drive there in time, even if you rented a car. How are you going to get there? And we found a cheap, like, it was literally a rickety, like, tiny plane that jumped us. It's kind of like the Ryanair, but it was a jump. I don't remember what it was. Whatever, easy.
Oh, easy, yeah.
Those
easy,
tiny plane services must love those rail strikes.
Terrifying. Yeah, I know, totally. Well, we got one of those, and we got back, but back safely. But yeah, it was terrifying. It was so small. They had to move people based on their weight.
Oh, whoa!
There were heavier people on the plane. They had to move them. Because they had to balance the plane.
So
crazy.
I'm not used to that because of just all those countries in Europe being so close. Because even in Texas, like I was in Texas, and it takes like to get from Dallas to El Paso, which is the other side, takes 13 hours. You want to get through Texas? It takes almost a whole day just to get out. And so when I went to New York, I was like, oh my God, you can just go over to Boston real quick.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to Philadelphia real quick. Like, everything is so close. And in Texas, everything is so big.
Well, even in California.
Yeah.
California's kind of the same.
Well, but California, going up, but you can go to Arizona.
You can go to Las Vegas.
You can go to Las Vegas. Yeah. Like, you can, like, eat, like, when I learned I could go to Vegas, I was like, oh, shit, that's so close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Florida's kind of that same thing where it's like, in Miami, you're like, oh, God, it takes forever to get anywhere.
Especially if you're at the bottom, like you're saying.
Yeah, because there's nothing to go to.
Yeah.
You're just like, well, I guess I'm going to go up and...
Right. Yeah. So I want to do just some housekeeping really quick. So we have a little birthday today for our old pal Autumn.
Oh,
it's her birthday today. When this comes out, it'll be, well, if you listen to it the night it comes out, it'll still be her birthday. But otherwise, you can go and wish her a happy belated birthday when you listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, Darren is doing a show in L.A. on Saturday. So if anybody wants to come,
you better go to that show, or I'm gonna kill you.
Well, no, Luis is not going.
I won't be there.
Luis is gonna be gone. He's going to Jamaica, but yeah. I'm gonna do my best to be there.
I'm probably going.
And
as
then
well.
Star probably will be there.
I bought my ticket.
So if you want to come hang out with us, we'll be there most likely, unless something keeps us. But yeah, if you're in LA and you want to come,
I'm gonna be there, but then I'll probably be leaving shortly.
Yeah, because we have a birthday party. Yeah, we have another birthday party we need to go to. So we'll be leaving shortly after. But if you want to come say hi, the two of us will probably be.
Whoa! I just took the microphone out of the stand. I didn't expect that.
That was amazing.
Sorry about that, everybody. I'm just gonna hold it for the rest of the interview.
Okay. So there's that. If you want to do that, Darren's also. I don't know if Darren's still touring or if he's what he's doing, but yeah, check that stuff out.
I think it might be his wrap up.
I think this might be his wrap up too.
I don't know.
And yeah, I think that's about it. You can find me at Spencer Stark on Twitter and on Instagram.
You can find me at Starline X on Twitter and Starline on Instagram. Also, I have an FHP store. I should have
Plug it. Yeah, yeah.
I have a new FHP collection. So with some designs I made. Just go to forhumanpeoples.com and just search Star. You'll see the stuff I made pop up. Not the Star Lord design, but everything else is mine. And don't worry about it. Like, For Human Peoples is like independent. They want to make that clear because people keep asking. They're like, "Am I supporting Group Night?" No, you're supporting the artists. So if you buy my stuff, I get paid. Just putting that out there. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, that's my stuff.
Cool. What plugs? So Luis Gonzalez, you can follow me at LUWI12 on everything.
You better be posting on that Instagram.
Oh,
all those Jamaica pics.
I was debating whether or not to bring my Canon.
Oh, so she said your cat.
And my cat, my three cats.
So good with our cats. Yeah.
We're gonna take pictures. But then I was like, no, I don't want to bring my Canon because then it's like if I'm on the beach and I don't want to leave it there and then someone can steal it. So it'll just all be iPhone pictures.
Yeah, iPhone pictures. But
it's like
fine.
I want it to be, but you know. If you're in Negril, Jamaica, from June 2nd to the 11th, just let me know. We can hang out there. at the Negril Yoga Center.
That's so funny.
That'd be really cool.
That'd
if there
be
was
so
a
awesome if there's
like,
somebody
hey,
there.
Yeah,
hey,
let's hang out and do the Jamaican culture. And then
you don't have to get away from this resort. We're gonna take you to somewhere cool.
Dude, I would totally be down. Local, they're crazy. I went to Jamaica a couple months years ago, and these people are jumping from like 30 feet high asking for people like $100, $200, I'll jump. And
what?
I don't know, they're fearless.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Anyways, follow me at Louis12, LEWI12. Thank you for listening.
And we have we potentially have our first sponsor coming up soon. We just got word that we have a sponsor,
potentially
sponsor. So you might start to hear ads here soon. And just know that it helps support us and helps us to keep doing the podcast.
It helps keep it running, and then maybe we even get a lunch.
Yeah, if we
like
get
that's
some.
That's honestly kind of
get a lunch. Lunch.
Yeah, we get free
get
crunch.
Some crunch.
Get some crunch. So anyway, you might hear that coming up in the next.
I feel like we need to answer some of these questions on the channel because we're never going to get to
no,
these
we
questions.
Actually made a good dent.
Really?
Yeah, because there was a whole string of stuff that was just conversation. So we made a good dent.
Okay, good. Going. We made a dent.
Cool, and then hopefully we'll have another guest on soon.
We'll have a guest soon. They've been...
Yeah, we had two drop out last week and this week. We both had guests drop out.
And hopefully you get one next week. I'm not going to be here. It'll just be you and Star.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so we'll have to get somebody.
You got to find somebody.
We'll find somebody.
Maybe a piece of bread.
A little piece of bread.
No, I'm eating a bagel. I've been trying to eat this. I've been eating this bagel in like little bite size.
Entire episode.
Have you seen this little bite size?
Yeah, you've just been...
How big is this, you think? A penny?
That's like a little smaller than a marble.
Yeah, it's like a chewed up piece of gum.
Yeah, it's like a little piece of gum.
I've just been chomping at it. All right, whatever. Let's end this thing.
All right. Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye. You're good little baby boys.